Are you ready to join me in transforming fear to freedom? That's the objective of the show. Are you ready to explore with me and my guests? Are you ready to get into the deep and play? This is where it's at, and that's what it's all about. No medical advice here. Use discernment and decide for yourself if the information is right for you. All views and opinions expressed on this show belong to the individual and are not necessarily shared with the producer of the show. Want more details? Go to letsgetrealchattingwithcatherine.com. Now let's get real and have some fun. Who are we going to explore with today? Come on with me and let's get into the deep.
All right, and we are back with Shelley Dressel, and she is going to share her insights, her wisdom, and some of her experiences dealing with transition, also known by many as death. Transition is a much, I think, it has less energy around it. It's a nicer word. It feels better. Death feels like it's the end, and transition is actually the beginning. So welcome, Shelley. Thanks for joining me and sharing with all of us today.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me in. I appreciate it as always. I come, as you know, with my group. So when we were talking about various topics to do with our conversation this fall, we both of us had several different things that we wanted to talk about. And this, to me, is something that I think is really, really important for people to know about for a couple of different reasons. Number one, when there is a death in the family or a transition in the family, the people are really not as far away as you think they are. And this is due to the shift in the vibrations. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about it for years and years about the changes in vibration, the rising of the vibration or the dimensions in which we live. And what does that mean to people? It means that you are moving from a place that was much more, when you talk about three-dimensional, that's kind of like in a box and there's very little movement that you have. It's almost like the butterfly that's coming out of the cocoon and they get to the fifth and sixth and they just can spread their wings wide open because there's less resistance, the flow is easier, and with that movement, people can transition not only within their own life, but as they transition, meaning they move off of this earth plane and they return back to their source energy, that what's happening is that then people have always said, I felt my husband around me. I felt my loved one looking over me, and they always have over the years. But now it's more so almost as if they come back and they're standing here with you instead of looking from afar. They're coming in and with you.
I've heard that it's said that most people attend their own funeral. And
yes.
And I find that interesting because, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I don't want a funeral or I don't want any memorial or whatever. And it does feel like there's something about it, though, that when we're on the other side, we do come back to maybe comfort the people that are mourning or maybe to hear what people have to say that we didn't hear before. Is that really that common?
It is extremely common. Many times people will not fully transition to the other side because they want to stay at their funeral. And that's one of the things that I did want to talk about. There are a lot of people, though, that will transition all the way into the light and then come back. So the difference is that someone that gets stuck is someone who doesn't go fully into the light, whereas someone that goes into the light then can move and have that flexibility to do these various things that we've been talking about.
Okay, so when they go into the light and then do they, because if I remember correctly from my own, with my son, I remember some of this as he was transitioning. So he went and he had some help too from some friends to go into the light. But then he was around for a little bit and then he sort of took, he went and did his life review and all that kind of stuff. So he wasn't around as much. And then he came back. So is that how it often goes? And then once you've done that and whatever healing work on the other side, then you have the ability to be kind of help. Like, why do they come back?
They come back because they might have unfinished business. They come back because the people on the earth are in such sorrow, they can't let go of them. And that energy pulls them back. They come back because it's maybe a part of their own personal growth to be able to do that kind of work from the non-physical realm. So there's a lot of different, and those are just a few of the reasons. There are more reasons why someone might choose to come back into the energy. But I want to take just a moment and mention that we've talked before about the I am presence, meaning each of us as our source, as our soul. We have multitudes of different lifetimes out in the universe, on the earth, maybe other planets or other stars. And so when we talk about going into the light, what you are doing is you are going back into your soul. You're reconnecting with your soul or your source energy. And then there might be angels, there might be loved ones who have crossed over. There are many, many people that are there to assist you, and nobody is ever left alone. And then the next part of this is that even when you first transition, you still have a lot of the personality of who you were in this lifetime. And I remember a friend of mine, when we were first talking about this years ago, and her mother was quite cantankerous. She says, "Oh, you mean she's going to be just as cantankerous when she goes over?" And sometimes they are. So so the key to this is that there is light available. The angels are available. Your own soul sees you and knows that you're there. What happens, though, is that the human, due to maybe trauma or due to a disbelief that there's anything more than this lifetime, they may not look towards or recognize that there's help out there or that they need to go into the light. And so therefore, they can get stuck in this space.
Well, and that's why I feel like this show is important, is because we do have people that are transitioning, that, like you say, loved ones or whatever, and there's fear. Because even if they have a religious belief, even if they have faith, even if they've practiced it all their lives, but sometimes, especially the elderly, or, you know, if you're really sick and you're getting close to your transitioning, sometimes because you haven't actually experienced it, like Anita Morjani, who actually crossed over, was on death's very door, and then came back. I mean, not many of us do it quite that way.
Dramatically.
Yeah, so as we're kind of lingering in between worlds, so to speak, our bodies are decaying, whatever, and we're getting ready to go, there could be fear that comes up. And that's why I love that you're saying, and you're not the only one who said it, this is important, it's being said by a lot of people, that you're not alone unless you kind of almost like you choose it. Like if you don't believe, if you won't, it seems like it's still that strong will. If you won't look to the light, if you feel so much shame or guilt or blame or stuff, if you're stuck in that, you might not look. And so then you feel this loneliness and darkness. But so I guess what I'm saying is, even if you don't believe it, even if you do feel guilty and shame and all that stuff, look anyway. Because just look, just, you know, it's one of those things. What could it hurt to look? And it could prevent you from wandering the earth in that heaviness.
Well, I find, too, that most people get stuck with wherever they transitioned. Because when you just said wandering the earth, you probably are not going to be wandering the earth. You're probably going to be where the event took place.
Yeah.
I've worked with many, many people over the years, and so I do know this from my own personal experience of working with people. And I can just hear some of the people out there saying, if you believe it. And so it might not even be your belief system, and that's completely fine. There's no right or wrong to any of this.
Yeah.
But my belief system, which I generate from working with a huge number of people, is that there is an afterlife, and that afterlife is your soul, and it's living in these light vibrations that are separated from the physicality of being a human. You can call that heaven. You can call it a higher dimension. You can call it the universe. You can call it whatever name you want to give it, but it's all the same space and the same energy.
And all I say to that is, it's fine if you don't believe it, but here's the thing. If you do cross over and you get there and it's really, really dark and you feel like it, look for some light. I mean, what could it hurt? It's kind of like saying, okay, there's going to be, you know, some gold right in your path, and you just have to see it and say it's gold and it's yours. And they say, I don't believe that could happen. Okay, but just for fun, you know, I call it for fun because it's way better than misery. So if it's possible, look for the light. What can you lose by doing that? Even if you don't believe. you know?
Exactly. And I just happened to, another one of the reasons why I reached out to Catherine about this is I had an experience just about a week ago that I wanted to share with you.
Please do.
And I'm also remembering that maybe this summer, it was sometime this summer that it also happened, these two very similar experiences. So I was at a stop. Should I go ahead and say this?
Yes, please. Yes, sure.
Okay. I was at a stoplight sitting in my car and this person walked in front of me. I could see him with dark hair. He had on a black t-shirt, black jeans or dark jeans. And he's just walking in front of me. And I looked at him and I realized as I was looking at him, I don't think he's alive. But yet he looked very physical to me. So the light turns green. I start driving. And it occurred to me as I started to go, oh, there was an accident at that same intersection a couple of weeks ago. And I realized that this guy probably got stuck there at the time of the accident and he didn't know how to go back to source or how to go back to his divinity. And so I reached out to him. And again, this is all done energetically. And this is what I do when I'm channeling is I reached out to him and I said, hey, may I help you? And he says, oh, I'm just looking for my car or I'm just looking for, he didn't really say my body. But he just says, I'm looking for my car and I'm looking for my stuff. But I knew what he was talking about is he was looking for his body. And I said, well, I need to let you know that you're dead. And he says, no, I'm not. He says, no, I'm just looking. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm just looking around. And I had a sense of him kind of going in a square around. You know how it is when you're at an intersection. You cross this way, then you cross this way. That he's been doing that. And So I continued to work with him energetically. And what I also do at a point like this is I bring in all my angels and I ask them to just surround him. And I think I might have even said, have you seen a light? And he says, yes, but I'm not going to the light because I'm not dead. So he really didn't think he was dead. And again, this is what I had a couple of months ago where someone kept telling me, no, I'm not dead. And I had to say, yes, you are. So when these energies or this part of your soul just becomes disconnected like that, it thinks it's still alive. It does not think it's dead, but it's not connected to anything. It's just kind of like wandering. Mm-hmm. And so the next thing that I did was I said, well, let me show you where you can go. And again, I'm kind of driving down the road and this is all happening. And I knew my car was surrounded. I knew it was a quiet time of the day. Or else I would have pulled over. But honestly, this all happened in like the space of a few minutes. And so I showed him where his divinity was. I showed him this light. And I could also illuminate for him loved ones that were there waiting for him. Mm-hmm. I said, do you see that you have loved ones over there? Do you see that they're waiting for you? And he says, yeah, I've kind of seen them, but I don't think I should go into the light. And I said, yes, I think you should. I think you'll feel so much better if you go into the light. And then it was like it was like a magnet that was just beginning to draw him into it. And when he opened up and he could acknowledge, or maybe it was just someone could say objectively to him, you're dead. Then that kind of helped him to realize, I'm not going to be alive anymore. And so as he began to acknowledge his divinity, then it was almost like a magnet. And he just went right back in and he completely reconnected with himself. And then I had a sense of him turning around and looking at me and saying, okay, I got it now. Thank you. And kind of waving to me. And I said, you're welcome. And then, you know, continued on my way. But to me, this is just amazing that things like this happen so easily and that you can see things so clearly. And it was such a representation not only of the death process, but of the various levels of energy and how there is really no border between them anymore.
Right.
If you open and you align yourself to the vibration, if you align yourself to the energy and you open to that potential, it's amazing what you can see and what you can connect to and communicate with.
Well, and the thing is, too, is that now it seems like more and more people, we're working on ourselves, raising our vibration and stuff like that. So it's good to be aware that if you have that sense that person didn't seem real, then probably just your saying that and kind of being open allowed the connection, the energetic connection, and then you could help them. But, and it brings me to, you know, we're going to come up to, the fall always brings me Halloween, and in Halloween, there's always the haunted houses and stuff like that. And I, you know, I'm all about fun, you know, fun's fun, but it's a place that I don't, to be honest, I don't find that fun, because when I think of the people that, if you know there's a, excuse me, a ghost, somebody that's hasn't transitioned in a, on a property or in a home, or, you know, you're hearing noises and sounds and it's starting to seem like, yeah, this is a regular event. And this, I mean, to me, not that we owe it. I don't know, think that's the right word, but it just feels like a very loving thing to do, to acknowledge that, you know, that person just needs some help. It's no different than seeing a homeless person on the street that's hungry. This person doesn't probably know they're dead, or they don't know how to get out of it. And if right. if you're hearing it and seeing it, or you're, you know, I just think it offends me somewhat to think mm-hmm. that people are turn that into entertainment. I wouldn't mind it if it wasn't real, if it was just being fun. But when there really is someone, kind of, it could be child, a man, a woman, whatever, it could be trauma from anything that has kept them in that. I just think it's a kind of more of a, what I say, responsible to help them.
And that, well, there are a number of shows on TV that do this. They go to the scariest places, or they use their equipment and technology to hear them speaking. And I've only watched them a couple of times, because just as you're talking about it, so disturbed me. If they would connect with it and then help it to release, yeah. that would be one thing. But they do it just for the, look at how scary that was. And that's what they amplify. So what are they doing for humanity? They're focusing on the fear. They're focusing on the negativity. They're focusing on the pain. And we don't need any more of that in the world. You and know, that's there's the plenty thing. Of that anyway. Yeah. So to me, the focus should always be on how can you assist in transitioning. And I will say that the vast majority that I've worked with are very warm, loving, generous people that just got stuck.
Yeah.
There are those that are what you might call evil, and there's a place near me where I live that had a ghost tour that I went on one year just for the heck of it, and there was a really nasty energy as a part of that. So I know there are those types of energies out there, and people that have a lot of fear in their life, or they have a lot of that lower vibration or densities, those are the ones that these can kind of connect to, and that does happen. So to me, what one needs to really consider, and I also have worked with a number of people that especially they would have nightmares about energies kind of coming and visiting them. And a lot of that is when you have a lot of fear in your life, or if you are disconnected from divinity in your life, meaning I don't think there's more than just this moment. I think that I'm here by myself. I think that I'm disconnected from other people. I can't seem to make a bond with people. And I might have family around me, and I might have friends, but yet still feel very isolated from people. I think that's the time when energies like this might come in your sleep state, or they might come in at different times and bother you. Like those other movies, I see dead people. I think all of that is very, very real. And so if a person were to come to me that's having that, the key that we do is try to work with releasing those energies first and foremost, and then work with that individual to help them ground, to help them reconnect with divinity, and to help them open up to that place where they're filled with light and filled with love, and therefore it helps the fears to be pushed away.
Well, and I've also heard that a lot of, like, when people are really angry, really filled with self-loathing, and they cross over, sometimes they will hang around places that are also in that lower energy, like bars that are, you know, the bar that everybody goes to tell their troubles to, that kind of, whether it, you know, it's not a happy place. And so, and alcohol is a depressant, of course, which, so, you know, I'm not saying anything about, like, I will have a drink myself too, but I mean, when it's been abused, when you're in those sort of altered states, it seems mm-hmm. like that's when that kind of energy will hang around you. So just to be aware, I mean, we need to be aware, but also I think it's important to talk about this, because when you're looking at your own transition or those of someone you loved, you can take all this into account. Like if they were a really unhappy person, then there might be, you know, they might be stuck. If when they died, they might be stuck, and you might want to reach out. And if you can't do it yourself, you might want to work with someone like Shelley to try to help them. You can connect with people like that, can't you?
Yes, I can. There, I will say this, that there are certain times when I may reach out to someone or try to connect with someone and they just say no.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously we respect that. That's their option. But there are way more times that we're able to reach out and connect with someone. And here's my belief about when people have crossed over and they go to the universal light. Many, many people that have had either a serious illness, maybe they died of cancer, maybe they had Alzheimer's, or maybe they had something that was many years encompassed, depression. They go into a place that it feels like it's kind of a cocoon type of thing where they're healing and they're just soaked in unconditional love. Now, within that place, the angels are all around them. They're observing them, but they don't interfere because it's that person's process. But then we may reach out to them and, you know, we're not the angels. We are the angels. Yes, I'm working with the angels, but we have our intention of like kind of knocking on that door and saying, are you okay? And sometimes we get a response and just like about a year ago, I think it was, someone said, oh, excuse me, I've been so stuck in there. Thankfully, I got out of that. And so you never know on this side and the other side what sort of minor little things may take place that will help a soul continue on.
Yeah.
I've also had times when someone just, they called them the social butterfly. It's like their job, once they crossed over, was to help all these people that are going through this transition of you know, moving into a higher vibration, not transitioning into death, but just moving and shifting. And so she was so busy just working here, working there, going here, going there. But that person, that aspect of her that was the mother to the person I was working with, remained in that space in support of her daughter. So where the full consciousness may go back into their I am presence and they may be moving on with their life, this person felt a need to still leave a piece of herself connected to her so that she would have what she needed to have.
Right.
And then probably at some point it would transition back.
So, because there's multiple parts of us, we're not just this one thing, like I can only be here and not over here. And I've had that even thought to myself, you know, when I'm talking to my deceased loved ones or whatever, they're on the other side, I'll think to myself, am I calling you when you're busy? Like, you know, you're actually doing something else. But then I realized, well, we're much more than what, it's not the same as here, having somebody calling you on the phone or, you know.
Yeah, a prime example is Archangel Michael, because he's, you know, so widely known. Millions of people reach out to Archangel Michael, and he kept saying, nope, I'm busy with 253 right now. You're 4,000 in line. No, he's immense, and he can connect to everyone all at the same time in that one-on-one. And I know another person came to me one time years ago and said, hey, I've been working with Saint Germain. What do you think about what they said? We don't know what they said. Because the aspect of Saint Germain that I'm connecting to is the aspect that I'm aligned with. And she was working through another individual that was connecting at another space. So it's like the perspective and the information might be somewhat different.
Yeah,
and that's why you can look at channels and get different answers from people. The essence or the energy behind it may be consistent, but the way that it gets spoken is different because of the person that's bringing through the information.
Yeah, and the context, the context and the emotion and the energy that the person asked the question and the channel's filters, and there are so many. It's like, you know, when you think emails or when you're doing social media and you write something, I mean, it can be taken so many different ways. Because people can't see your face, they can't see the setting, the whatever, and so you'd have three or four people read the same post and they take it a different way according to their filters. So it's the same thing, it's just these beings of energy, light, and so forth just don't have a physical body, but
right.
They still have their way of delivering. But the important thing I feel it is really to help people to understand that, yeah, if people that have decided already, this is it, I'm going to die, I go in the whole ground, in a hole, and that's it for me, they're probably not going to be watching this. They're probably not going to resonate with this at all. But there might be some people who haven't quite figured it out, or they're undecided, or they're getting close to that time, and or they've had someone else cross over, and they just kind of are wondering, are they still alive? And I think that's the thing, is that, like, with me, with my son in particular, because he's the most recent one for me, he's very much still alive. I've not ever felt like he died. Not ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, there's grief. There's the sorrow of the physical loss, he's not in the physical. But when you know, you can interact with them, you can feel them around you and so forth, that it just makes it all different. And so I think that's where what you're saying, and the fact that you can do this, it's not just random. Like, you, because you're open, you happen to be at that stoplight and that person walked by, you picked up on it. And now that other people have heard this, they might be more aware of that too. But what about clients? Have you had situations where, say, somebody is living in a house, or they're having nightmares, or they're feeling like, could it be some other energy? Can you work with that randomly? Like, how would a person...
You know, I haven't, that's a great question to ask, as far as can I work with it randomly, like meaning just go through a general space. I'm in the South. We had the Civil War here. There have been a couple of times where I might be out by a field where I knew there was a Civil War battle, and I might just kind of send the light and energy through it to kind of filter it out and clear it out, not really looking for or you know, having a particular intention other than clearing out energy. So you know, yes, that is one thing that you could do to try to do it worldwide. I would imagine we absolutely could. As it turns out, the way that I work with it most often, though, and going back 12, 13 years, as long ago as then, I've had people that would call me and say, this one part of my house always feels cold. And this was someone that lived in the Midwest, and it was a farmer that got killed in a massacre. And he was there waiting for his family to come back. Mm-hmm. Well, his family had died in the massacre also, so we helped him, you know, to go into the light. What's another example? Oh, yeah. Someone actually that I know right now had been afraid her whole life growing up, and afraid in the dark. And she would always, like, you know, wake up every night multiple times, Mama, can you hear me? And when I really looked at this, and I looked at this fear that she was having with her, I realized that from something dating back maybe 100 years ago or more, there was someone that was on the place where she lived growing up, which she's still in that same general vicinity. It might be the same land. They had a lot of acreage then, and now they've just got a small portion.
Right.
And I realized that this man was just one of those mean, nasty old men, because that's how he looked to me. And he just was, you know, angry and bitter and, you know, everyone's met that person.
Yeah.
And so what was interesting in this case is he obviously didn't want to transition. He was doing just fine the way he was. So, but we did the same thing as, like I said, with this other encounter. And we went out and we said, you know what? You're dead. You need to go into the light. No, I don't. I'm doing just fine right where I am. So what happened then was the angels, of course, have to kind of be there as the energy. So then this is where I, Shelley, am kind of coming in, and I'm putting more intention behind it. And I'm now saying, you can't stay here anymore. It's time for you to move on. It's time for you to move. And we had a sense of, like, going down and actually getting the roots and going back to however length of time he had lived there, and taking all of his energy and then just surrounding him. And Archangel Michael, with his sword of light, just kind of takes his light, and then he just kind of illuminates that. And we just took all of it, and we basically took him and just put him up into the light. Mm-hmm. And he did not want to go. He tried to resist going. But as you know, anything that's of a higher light vibration is going to diffuse that which is of the lower vibration. So we just surrounded him by the angels. We pulled out his energy. We put him into the light. And then Michael and Raphael, they kind of went through there with that sieve, and they just cleared out all the energy of the whole property. She immediately felt a difference.
Wow.
The fear that had been with her from childhood was completely gone. And this was a year or 18 months ago, 15 months ago. And it's still, we just happened to talk about it recently. And she says, oh no, it's never come back. It's gone.
Well, so sometimes then these beings, they don't want to go for whatever reason. They just, they don't and they're grumpy and they kind of like, so I mean, is that's kind of a story thing, but there's dead people, what they call earthbound spirits type of thing, that actually want to be grumpy and scare people? Or did he know he was scaring the little girl, the woman?
Well, he probably, if I were to say, like, what do I think? He probably had some psychosis or some sort of, you know, he was not right in the head.
Yeah.
And so when he lived, he was not right in the head.
Right.
And I think he was one of those people that was maybe antisocial, you know, would hurt others and, you know, didn't believe there was anything other than the now moment. And that's why when he died, and it felt like he died a traumatic death, he just stayed there.
Right.
And so he was someone that was just not a nice person in life.
Yeah. And that's what I'm just wondering, where, you know, you might have relatives that they just never were part of the family, always on the outside and always were grumpy and then died. And maybe you just feeling like, you know, like, would praying for them help? Would calling, asking the angels to be with them help? Like, you may not want to, you know, actually.
Okay, so here's the, yeah, they just were reminding me. We're leaving out a key part here.
Okay.
There are millions and billions of grumpy people in the world. Not all of them get stuck on Earth. So people can be grumpy. People can, you know, be not necessarily the nicest person. For whatever reason, that was just what their life has created for them. But they still go straight into the light when they transition. So that means that there's still that part of them that's still open, that just, you know, that when they're gone, they're gone. What I'm talking about are the extreme cases, and someone that dies most likely under trauma, and that's when they get stuck into that space.
Yeah, and they don't have to be grumpy to be stuck either. They're just confused, right? Like, you walk out the door and you get hit by a bus. I hear that happens. People, you're not expecting that, right? So you wouldn't know you're dead.
Right.
You would be,
and that's like the first individual that I was talking about.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, you'd be wandering around. But I think that's what's beautiful about this time, is because there's more and more people who are opening up, raising our vibration, so therefore we can see them wandering or confused, mm-hmm. or whatever, and where before it might have been very rare for them to be seen. So do you think that as we're coming to, well, it's good that the information is coming out, that more and more people are, one, able to help when you do have a problem with, you know, some space in your house or fears or things like that. It might be linked to that. It's also good that for people who are preparing for their transition, if you know you're dying, or you know you're, you know, I mean, we all know we're dying eventually. I mean, right? But if you know, like, you've just had this diagnosis and you want to come to terms with it, would having a session help to beforehand, or would do you think just knowing this will help for people?
You know, it totally depends on the individual. No, you would not have to have a session, because anybody can open up to, and whether you do it through prayer, whether you do it through talking to God, whether you do it, you know, whatever it is that works for you, you're still blending and merging in with that energy. Mm-hmm. So no, it does not have to just come from me. But when people are fearful of that, and I just think it's so beautiful, because as we've said before, I work in the medical profession, so a lot of people are transitioning. And I hear more and more and more people talking about how they said, you know, that when their mother got to the end, they wouldn't let the nurses, and the nurses even respected it. You know, they didn't come in to take vital signs because, you know, they don't want to pull her back. They want to just let her go and let her peacefully go. So people have that kind of an understanding, and they try to respect something that's going to make it peaceful and easy. So whatever it is, my own mother-in-law, former mother-in-law, when she transitioned, I'd already worked with her ahead of time. And I heard about it on my phone when I was at lunch. When I got back to my office, I went in and I just, you know, kind of connected to her. And she was standing there waiting for me. And she said, "Shelly, it's everything you said. Thank you." And boom, she was gone. So she was, you know, she had ALS, so she hadn't been able to speak. And so she was able to speak now. She'd gone back to her former self. She still seemed very much like her physical person that I knew probably more at her prime than at the end of her life, because she ended like that.
Well, this is what I've heard a lot, is that we tend to go to our most healthiest, youthful, mm-hmm. you know, and children just kind of stay as children, or, you know, as we are when we transition. But I was just thinking that for people who do have some fear, might be helpful to have a session with you to kind of feel that, maybe get just a little clarity, and to reassure them that you are not dying, just your body. Right. That's all that's right. happening here. We just drop in their bodies. And
absolutely, it will be different. And absolutely, the people that are left behind that won't have that physical person to love and to hold and to nourish, absolutely, I have the utmost respect for the loss that you are going through. I'm not saying there isn't a loss, because there absolutely is. But like we've been saying in all this expression, and I already know that we'll write a blog about this, because you blog about everything these days. But anyway, that's also another opportunity that if someone's listening to this, maybe go look for that blog. And if you want to read what I'm sure Catherine will respond to it too. And we'll get a conversation going. And if you have questions, you can ask questions that way too.
Yeah.
Because my whole intention with wanting to have this is to help people be comfortable, to help people realize it's available, that there are more options available, and that you can work with the energy and still have them near you.
Yeah, I think that's just, it really does help to talk about it. That's how I feel about everything. I mean, that's the whole point of this show, to transform that fear, because there is freedom. I mean, you just don't realize how fear can paralyze you and prevent you from living your best life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so is there anything else that you wanted to sort of share, or you felt like you're getting a download or anything before?
I'm not getting any other messages about this. I think we've said, you know, kind of showed the all the many different ways in which you can work with this energy. And so I guess any last messages to people is to let go of fear. Understand that there's always support. That support comes from your loved ones that have crossed over, and from the angels, and from your own source energy. And just if you can let that go and begin to trust or understand that there is more than just this lifetime, then be gentle on yourself. Let yourself have a life that's enjoyable, instead of feeling like you have to do everything because this is my only chance. You know, be gentle and find the joy in your life, find the love in your life, and let that be the focus of where you are.
That's awesome. Well, I know we could expand on this conversation over and over again, and I'm sure we will in different ways, but I think that really at least is a beginning for people who want to explore. So and yes, I think you're right. We've kind of talked about all the different facets. So thank you so much, Shelley, and thank you to all of you for watching, and don't forget to share and subscribe, and have a blessed, fun day. Until next time, take care.
Bye.
Amazing. Thank you to my guests for sharing with us today. Thank you for watching. Feel free to share the link. You can join us for live shows by going to letsgetrealchattingwithcatherine.com and listen to the replays from the show page, preview guests, and explore links to our Facebook fan page, WordPress blog, and more. We are creating an exquisite world. Until next time, take care.